Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a UnitedHealthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare plans at uhc.com/Medicare.
Live from Liverpool, The Dark Paranormal, Season 20. Hello everyone and welcome to our mid-season episode, Episode 5 of Season 20. And I've bigged this one up for a particular reason. When I go through the submissions which our team put together for me to review, this one jumped out at me like a sore thumb, because it also came with pictures attached. Now, today's contributor does wish to remain anonymous, which is fine. However, they also don't want me to put out the photographs, because they believe it will definitely give away their location, etc., which in truth it would. And don't worry, the photographs are of nothing paranormal. They're of the locations mentioned in the experience. However, when I say lower the lights, make yourself comfortable, etc., I really want you to try and actually do that. As in, try and listen to this one with your eyes closed. Really become immersed in it, and I don't believe the lack of photographs will do this experience any harm at all. Especially having several read-throughs this week before recording this episode. Now, of course, last week we did not say a thank you to any of our newest Patreons because we announced, as we will again, that for the remainder of the month of June to celebrate our 20th anniversary, we are giving free trial weeks away for our Patreon's highest tier. That means not only can you gain full access to ad-free early releases of everything on the main feed, you can also gain access to both Dark Bites and the entire Dark Bites catalogue. And with that being a weekly 30-minute show, there's approximately 110-plus hours worth of Patreon-only material for you to go and binge right now on that free trial. Just head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. And hopefully you'll get a sense of this community that I keep banging on about each and every episode, because it's completely true. And of course, if it's not for you, don't worry about it, just cancel your trial before it expires, like most trials these days. But if it is for you, then welcome to the community. What we will do is we will read out anyone who stays on as a member when they become a member, but of course signing up for the free trial won't get your name read out, as that's one of the perks you get for becoming a full member. So staying on after the free trial, not only will you maintain all of the benefits you get in the free trial, but you'll also get your name read out, just like the following people, who are delayed by a week and I do apologise, but a big welcome to our newest team members. And they are Ali Feenstra, Brittany Randolph, Bethany Fisher, Nikki Cabrera, Kwanzaa Dowdle, Stephanie Harris, Nick Kingsbury, Jack Coleman, Rooster, Nikki J, Ash Goodwin, Iliki Boy, Casey, Amy Miglionisho, Meet Your Trusty Reviewer, Christina, Harry, Panther Girl, and YOLO135. Thank you so, so much, guys. You literally keep this show, this independent show, afloat. And thank you also to everyone who's trying out the free trial. And as I say, if you wish to do so, you can check it out in the show notes. There's a link right there that you can click on, and it will take you to that page, or you can go to the webpage, thedarkparanormal.com, and click on the free trial link there. Just a bit of advice is that you can't access it via the iOS app at the moment, so you just have to go through a browser either on your phone or your laptop to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal, and you can take it all from there. Or as I say, just click the link in the show notes. And that's also where you can find how to submit your experience. There's also a link in the show notes to do just that. For any other general correspondence, you can email us at contact@thedarkparanormal.com. But not for any stories, they need to go via the website. And we have had some more emails asking about things like subscriptions on Apple, etc. We're working on a plethora of gifts, surprises, treats for this season. We're just awaiting the final branding for the YouTube series The Dark Vault, which should start anytime soon. And of course, there's a lot more under the hood that we're hoping to surprise you with going forward. We are growing, and that's thanks to you. And if you can't become a Patreon or whichever, please just go and leave us a nice review. Or tell your friend if you like the show. But in the meantime, please, sincerely, lower the lights, make yourself comfortable, and leave your disbelief at the door as we hear how the ritual controls you. Although this never leaves my mind, I never talk about it, I never discuss it, it just stays in my mind. Until now. From listening to your show, I now feel at peace with putting this down in writing, and hopefully this will remove it, at least partially, from my brain. I've never written this down before, and even writing on this computer makes my hands shake a bit, even now, 20-odd years later. But I do believe some things need to be told. They need to be heard. Especially when they've played their part in shaping who you are and revealed family truths that you never saw coming. I grew up in a beautiful fishing village on Ireland's east coast. Most would say there's nothing fancy about it, just practical stone houses built around 1920 for fishing families, all lined up one side facing the harbour. But to me, I loved the way it could be glorious one day, and you'd be out playing in your shorts, and the next, the Atlantic winds and rain, which was sidewards, would be battering your house, your garden, and if you dare go outside, your entire being. Just FYI, any names in this story will be changed. I've sent you pictures, Kevin, of the location, and please do not share them. I wish to remain as anonymous as possible. Our village sat on land that's seen plenty of death over the centuries. Famine ships were wrecked on our rocks. Boats that went out and never came back. Families that came to the area for a new life, only to disappear during the Troubles. Before all that, this was Celtic territory, and the old beliefs ran deep. Deeper than I could have ever realised as a child. I can't say for certain that it's history that explained what happened in our small row of houses. All I know is that it did happen. I don't care if people believe me or not, and everyone who lived there just accepted it. That in and of itself should have been a warning. But when you're young, you don't see these things. My mother died when I was tiny. So my dad, who worked away a lot of the time, raised me and my sister Fiona at my grandparents' house. Fiona's a year younger than me, red hair and a laugh that you can hear from three houses down. My nan's family came from the mountains in Wicklow, the kind of people who still spoke Irish in their kitchens and believed all the old stories about spirits, fairy mounds and thin places where the worlds allegedly touch each other. Some nights when all of us were there, having some sort of sleepover, my nan would gather us round by candlelight and tell us ghost stories of her great uncle Paddy, who claimed a ball of green fire followed him home one night. He'd sped up, it sped up. He ran, it followed. Until, eventually, it touched him and clung to his back whilst he screamed, running all the way home. It even made it into the local paper, although they added he was a drunk. Knowing Paddy's reputation, that was probably a fair call. Still, my nan always said some people do attract that kind of attention, whether they want it or not. My mother's family had their own strange history. Her brother Kieran, for example, apparently spent his childhood talking to their grandfather. The problem is, as you've probably guessed, the grandfather had died before Kieran was born. The family thought it was just his imagination, until this carried on till he was 16, and one evening spent the entire night digging behind a bush in the back garden. He then entered the living room, covered in muck, carrying a buried tin box, and when opened, revealed old photographs and tiny treasures that only grandfather could have known about. I'll add a small trigger warning for my next sentence. I'm not sure of the hereafters, but I do know they went on to have him committed not long after that. And also, he went on to kill himself at 22. So this is what I come from. Who I come from. No jokes, no embellishment. Just people who claim to see things others don't. Be that a gift or a curse. When I was 4, we moved into Nan and Grandad's full time. There are 6 houses in our row, all facing the harbour, photo attached. Our neighbours were typical Irish village folk. The O'Briens next door and the Jameses 2 houses down. Between our house and the Jameses lived Mrs. Delaney, an old woman who kept herself to herself, mostly. She had a lovely front garden, which she spent growing herbs, deep dark green wildflowers, and other things that seemed to do well despite the salt air. Me, Fiona, Siobhan from the O'Briens and Mairead from the Jameses were thick as thieves. 4 girls ages 5 to 7, always together. And we had the free run of all 3 houses. Mrs. Delaney would wave at us from her kitchen window if we played in the back garden, and sometimes she'd bring us little bags of berries or biscuits. I remember once picking these red berries off her plants outside in the front just to pop them. As I put one to my mouth, she came out and gently told me they weren't toys and also weren't safe to eat, knocking it from my hand as it touched my lips. "Beautiful things aren't always safe things, darling," she said. I think I cried about being told off. That's just how I was. The first incident happened when I was 6. Myself and Fiona were sleeping at Nan's one night when something woke me up. Not a sound, just that feeling you get when someone's watching you. I woke, but no one was in the room other than Fiona. But through the curtains, I could see red and blue light flashing, reflecting off the water and our walls. The emergency vehicles were outside Mrs. Delaney's house, but from our window we couldn't see much, just the lights and people moving around. But the sight of those emergency lights turned my stomach cold in a way I didn't understand at a young age. But there was something about the way they cut through the darkness, the way they made everything look wrong, look dangerous. That feeling as a kid when you know you haven't done anything wrong, but your body is telling you you're for the high jump. The red light would sweep across our wall, and for a split second it looked like blood spreading across the white paint. Then the blue would follow and wash it clean, only for the red to return. And on it went like that for what felt like hours. This sick, pulsing rhythm that made me want to hide under the covers, but kept me frozen at the window instead. Even Fiona, who usually slept through everything, woke up whimpering. We held on to each other and watched until our lights finally stopped. But we slept in the same bed that night. The next morning at breakfast, Nan didn't mention a thing about it other than to say we looked tired. And being kids, once the front door was open and we were dressed and could go outside and play, we forgot all about it. But Mrs. Delaney's garden started to look neglected in the weeks and months that followed. The wildflowers, always beautiful and strong, drooping, with weeds growing high next to them. Those unsafe berries dropping and rotting. I figured maybe the salt air finally got the better of the garden. She'd still give us the occasional wave from her window, and we'd smile and wave back. Late that summer, Siobhan came running to our house, crying her eyes out. She was playing in her bedroom, whose wall was adjacent to Mrs. Delaney's room, when suddenly her floor shook with something that echoed from the room in Mrs. Delaney's. This was followed by heavy, manly footsteps, clearly not the frail Mrs. Delaney. So she rushed to the front bedroom and looked out, expecting to maybe see a removal van. But there were no cars in sight. Still hearing these heavy footsteps, she was too afraid to go back into her bedroom and instead stood on the premises of the doorway, biting her nails and listening intently. The footsteps soon stopped, but what came next was even more chilling, because the footsteps were followed by a humming. Low, melodic, eerie, almost out of tune, but almost familiar. A tune like my nan might hum whilst cooking. But something seemed wrong with it. Siobhan said it made all the hair on her arms stand up. She said the melody had a sad feeling to it, but was beautiful. However, it was like whoever was humming had lost everything in the world. So, being the nosy kid she was, she decided to investigate. She ran into the back garden, grabbed a crate, and used it to stand on to peek over the fence to look into Mrs. Delaney's kitchen. And it was at this point she saw the figure in the kitchen window. Let's take a quick break to tell you about a wonderful product. Did you know there are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our world? From the food we eat to the air we breathe, even the skincare we use, they could be messing with your hormones and making you feel like you're stuck in a mystery of your own. And just like a plot twist in a true crime story or one of those unexpected scary moments in our submitters' experiences, hormonal changes like premenopause or menopause can strike at the most unexpected times. And suddenly you're dealing with mood swings, sleepless nights, and all those other symptoms that make you feel like you're losing control. But here's the good news. This is one mystery you can solve with Happy Mammoth. Just take the 2-minute free quiz from Happy Mammoth, answer a few simple questions about what you're experiencing and where you're at in life, and you'll uncover the real culprit behind your hormonal symptoms. And the best part? After taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help you balance your hormones so you can feel like yourself again. The results are impressive. There are over 40,000 reviews on their website. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. According to a survey, 86% of the women started losing weight, 77% say it improved their mood, and the biggest benefit? 100% of the women surveyed said they're feeling like themselves again. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code DARKPARANORMAL at checkout. That's happymammoth.com, and use the code DARKPARANORMAL for 15% off today.
Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You look amazing. What have you been doing?
You've heard of Ozempic, Wegovy, and other GLP-1 medications, right? Well, if you qualify, Zelda providers can prescribe semaglutide, the same active ingredient, at up to 90% less without insurance. Done all online.
No wait at the doctor's office or pharmacy?
No wait. Zelda can ship the same active ingredients as other expensive GLP-1s to your door.
Get started with Zelthy today for just $39. Call #250 and say keyword care. That's the same active ingredients in Wegovy or Ozempic, but for 80 to 90% less. That's #250 keyword care.
Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from United Healthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from United Healthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a United Healthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about United Healthcare plans at uhc.com/Medicare.
The sheer terror in Siobhan's voice when she described this still makes my skin crawl. She said the figure looked like Mrs. Delaney at first glance. Same size, same silver hair, but wrong somehow. Her face, it was too pale, too still. And then she said the line that even now has me looking over my shoulder as I type. She whispered, "Her eyes look like fog. Just this thick, grey fog, moving around in the sockets." But worse was to come. The figure turned, raised its hand like Mrs. Delaney would in her familiar gesture, and waved. That gentle wave she'd given us countless times. Except, this time, there was no warmth in it. No recognition. It was desperate. Like someone trying to communicate something urgent but unable to speak. The waving went on and on, becoming more and more frantic, until Siobhan was so terrified she jumped off the crate and ran to my house. My nan opened the door, and seeing Siobhan so upset, immediately began consoling her, leading her into the living room, sitting her down and rubbing her knees, asking repeatedly, "What's wrong, love? What's wrong?" My heart was pounding out of its chest because I didn't know why Siobhan was so upset. My last thought was it was anything paranormal. Nan listened to Siobhan's story with more attention I'd ever seen her give anything. And when Siobhan finished, Gran stood up, walked over to the stone wall between our properties, and stared in silence at it for what felt like hours. In reality, it was just a few minutes. But it was long enough for Siobhan to stop crying and look at me as if to say, "What is your Nan doing?" Nan then muttered, "Mrs. Delaney passed in her sleep 3 weeks ago." She turned away. Her son came from Cork to handle some things. Then she looked at some point in the distance and said, "Sometimes the old ones have trouble letting go." 3 weeks, I thought. My stomach dropped. 3 weeks meant... "Nan," I said, barely able to get the words out. "If she died 3 weeks ago, who have we been waving at outside all those times?" Gran had this look where she was deciding how much truth we could handle, and this look was plastered all over her face. Then she composed herself, knelt back down to where Siobhan was, and switching between the two of us, smiled and said, "Listen, girls, sometimes when people have been very happy in a place, part of them finds it hard to leave." She patted Siobhan on the knee, stood up with a smile, like that was fine, cleared her throat, and walked out of the living room to the kitchen, humming. Siobhan's eyes went wide. "That's the tune." "What?" I said. "The humming," replied Siobhan. "That's the same tune. Was your Nan doing it here? Is that what I heard?" I nodded, but I lied. My Nan had been in the kitchen, listening to the radio, and certainly wasn't humming any tune. Definitely not one that could have been heard by Siobhan, one floor above and two houses away. This little white lie had the effect of calming Siobhan and putting nothing but sheer panic into me. Over the next few days, we learned we'd all been seeing the figure. None of us were exactly scared. More fascinated, confused. It was like finding out, and I know how strange this sounds, like a neighbour had become, well, a different kind of neighbour. The cottage stayed empty throughout autumn, and the garden somehow mended itself. The weeds rotted away. The berries kept growing. It was November that I started noticing the odd things. Things that would later make a horrible sense. Fiona and I were walking home from school, and we saw Mrs. Delaney's cottage lit up from inside. Warm, a golden light in every window. Smoke emanating from the chimney. Even the smell of burning turf. For a few moments, it looked exactly like it did when she was alive. But as we got closer, something felt fundamentally wrong about those lights. They weren't flickering like normal flames. They pulsed in a steady rhythm that reminded me of a heartbeat. And the smoke from that chimney, well, wasn't rising straight up like it should. It wasn't windy, but instead it seemed to curl and twist in patterns. Some shapes, almost. Before whatever wind was just up there would scatter them to the breeze. The smell wasn't quite right either. Through the familiar scent of burning turf was something else. Something sweet, something cloying. It made my throat close up. By the time we reached our gate, the whole illusion had faded and the cottage was dark and empty once more. But that smell lingered in my nose and throat for hours afterwards. That evening, I mentioned it to Grandad, who confirmed the cottage was indeed still empty. Then he ruffled his newspaper as he muttered, "Not that that stops your nan leaving food on a doorstep, mind you." I was in shock at this remark and walked into the kitchen to find my nan pottering about. "You okay, child?" she asked, looking at my clearly confused face. Now, here's a weird thing. I recall asking her about what Grandad said, but in my memory, it's like I was out of breath. When I know I wasn't, it was like I'd ran a marathon and was struggling to ask this question. When I know I didn't do it like that, that's not what took place. But that's what my memory is. My nan just said, "Oh, ignore him." Thank God, I thought, as she walked past me into the foot of the stairs, but then followed up with, and I think this was for Grandad, not for me, "A scrap of bread, some soup and a tea is hardly food, is it?" Grandad didn't reply. Nan stomped upstairs and then leant over the banister and shouted, "And by morning, it's always gone." I looked at Grandad from the hallway, who was still sat reading the paper in his chair. He turned and looked at me, and in a low voice said, "Well, harbour rats get hungry, you know," and smiled, turning back to his newspaper. Throughout the winter, the incidents continued, but took on a weird, protective-like quality. As in, we'd hear sharp whistles when we played too close to the cliff edge. Or when Mairead fell and scraped her knee badly, she swears gentle hands lifted her to her feet. During a fierce February storm, me and Fiona got caught outside. The rain was pelting down, and we couldn't see more than a few feet. We were really lost and almost starting to panic when we saw a light coming from Mrs. Delaney's cottage. The light was moving from window to window, like someone was carrying a paraffin lamp. It was like someone was deliberately making that cottage visible so we could find our way home. It was also around this same time I started noticing odd things about Nan. She would disappear certain evenings, claiming to visit Mrs. O'Sullivan across the village. But I'd look out of my window and see her walking toward the old stone circle on the mound beyond the harbour. Once, when I was sick and couldn't sleep, I heard her talking to someone in the next room. Two voices, Nan's and someone else, having a proper conversation. Ill, I crept myself in to see who it was. And the room was empty. I at least expected to find Nan, but the sight of no one made me physically jump on the spot. While doing chores, I also found books hidden under Gran's bed. Old volumes with symbols I didn't recognise, written in pencil. The language could have been Irish or English or neither, as the handwriting was just bizarre. When I asked Nan about them, she said they were just family history books and not to worry about them. Spring finally brought with it new tenants to Mrs. Delaney's cottage, Colm and Natasha. Colm was an artist from Dublin, and Natasha worked with computers of some variety. After a few weeks of shy hellos, I was outside and I heard Natasha say to Gran that they felt really welcomed in the home, like someone had been keeping the place ready for them. But Colm would often find his art supplies arranged more neatly than he'd left them. And the garden never needed touching. It was perfect regardless of the harsh weather. But then there were moments where Natasha looked troubled. Over the fence a month or so later, I heard her telling Colm about finding strange marks carved into the cottage's windowsills. Symbols hidden under layers of old paint as they tried renovating. I heard her say something about them made her feel uneasy, though she couldn't explain why. They lived there just 12 months. And as we grew older, seemingly a merry-go-round of tenants were in and out soon after. However, the whole truth didn't come out until Gran died, many, many years later. Whilst clearing through her things, I found a wooden box at the back of a cupboard in her bedroom. I didn't know it was a box. I thought it was the shape of the cupboard to accommodate the piping. And inside were papers. Not any old papers. One seemed to be a diary of Nan's. And not any diary. You see, the other papers showed that both Gran and Mrs. Delaney had apparently been members of something called the Samhain Circle. They met at the old stone circle, practicing what they called traditional Irish spiritual work. But when I read through the part I could make out, it looked something much, much darker. From what I could see through the scraps of paper, the sheets drawn with diagrams, each one with a date, again, all in pencil in the corner of each page, it appeared like they've been doing these rituals for decades. Lord knows I've no better word to describe them than rituals. One of the quotes, and I do quote, says, "Maintain the balance between worlds." And another I could make out, "Protect those under our care." But then later entries in Gran's handwriting suggested that something had gone wrong. Amongst the scribble, there were references to unintended attachments, spirits that won't leave. And worst of all, a full paragraph I simply couldn't decipher, except for the last sentence, which read, "This is the price of the door open too long." Mrs. Delaney's death hadn't been peaceful like Nan told us. According to Nan's diary, which thankfully was in much better handwriting and in pen, Mrs. Delaney's death hadn't been peaceful like Nan told us. Apparently, she died during what Nan's diary called a threshold working, a ritual to strengthen connections between the living and the dead. Nan wrote, "The silly woman had the police and the ambulance workers find her collapsed in her own kitchen, surrounded by candles and the symbols scratched into her table." And then, as if to get her point across, she'd seemingly forcefully used her pen to roughly write in capital letters, "Silly woman!" exclamation mark, and underlined it several times. This caused me to go back through the diary to see any reference to a threshold ritual. But I had no luck. However, on the other pieces of paper scattered around, one, written in pencil, did have a title, The Threshold Ritual. On it were a series of symbols, and next to each symbol there was a small paragraph, which began with the haunting line, "This symbol hereby binds," then brackets, "insert deceased name," close brackets, "to this very location." And there was more underneath, again rather illegible. Reading about them made my hands shake so badly I had to put the papers down. The very thought of Mrs. Delaney dying surrounded by these carved restraints, of her last moment being trapped by her own ritual, made me feel sick to my stomach. Worse was picturing me finding my own gran like that. Thankfully, in a strange way, she passed from cancer in a hospice. Gran's final diary entry, written a few weeks before she was admitted to the hospice, reads, "The work ends with us. Children are too sensitive, too open. It cannot be undone, but it cannot be passed on. May God forgive us for thinking we could control that what should remain." I understand now that what we experienced wasn't a haunting in any normal sense. It was the result of a spiritual ritual gone wrong. Mrs. Delaney didn't choose to stay out of love for her cottage. She'd been caught between worlds by rituals designed to thin the boundaries between life and death. All of those protective incidents, the helpful presence, the way families felt welcomed in the cottage. Maybe it was Mrs. Delaney trying to make the best of being trapped, bound by working she'd helped create, but could no longer control. I still shiver when I pass Mrs. Delaney's cottage. Not because of her, but because Mrs. Delaney remains not as the gentle guardian I once thought, but as a reminder that some doors, once opened, can't be closed again. Kevin, for your reference, I've attached photographs of both the row of houses, the harbour, the stone circle, and a long-distance shot of the papers. Just so you, in case you're intrigued, try and copy anything down. In brackets, "I know you like to be a bit experimental," smiley face. As I say, I do not talk about this incident, I've never written it down before, and I have heard others on the show say it can be cathartic. I've always been rather skeptical of that, but I can confirm, now I reach the end of my experience, this has indeed been cathartic. And I would recommend to anyone to send in your experience if you've been dithering with it. Not just because it's cathartic, but also because these experiences are real and do need to be shared. Lots of love, Anonymous. Well, Anonymous, I made a big deal of this episode through the week because genuinely, it's an episode, as I read through, that needed no editing because I could tell how you wrote that this was an authentic experience. There's something about it, there's some sort of qualia that just makes this experience really stand out to me. And people could say, well, you're just convinced because somebody sent you some photos with the story and it's photos of houses and a long-distance shot of some papers on a bed. And they could say that. But why? Why would someone go through that much bother and then submit the story as anonymous? What are they gaining from submitting this story other than kind of relieving themselves of the weight of that experience? So Anonymous, sincerely, thank you for one of the most intriguing episodes we've had in a long, long time. I'm really sorry to our listeners, I can't share these photographs. That's the specific instruction. And as always, if a listener submits their experience, ask for anonymity or ask that things aren't revealed, I am not going to go against their wishes. This is your show, and I've said that each and every season because it simply is. Therefore, I care not a jot if anyone loses credibility for a story because the name is anonymous or because I can't share photographs. It's against the ethos of both me personally and the dark paranormal to go ahead for ratings or whichever to share some really exciting pictures, which I wish I could share, just for the sake of gaining a few more listens. So we would never do that, Anonymous. Thank you so much for your email. And if you have your own experience, don't forget, in the show notes, you can click on Submit My Experience and it will take you directly to the link. Or you can go to thedarkparanormal.com and click on Submit My Experience. They are the only two ways we now accept submissions. However, contact at thedarkparanormal.com is still available as an email contact address if you, say, for example, have a suggestion for a Dark Realms episode or some feedback that you'd like to share. But again, Anonymous, thank you so much for giving us one hell of an episode for our midpoint of season 20. Now, I'll remind you all one more time, after today, we have only 16 days left of the free trial available at patreon.com. Again, if you wish to take advantage, go to the show notes or head over using a web browser on your phone or laptop to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. And I and our wonderful community look forward to welcoming you with open arms. But until next week, remember, when you're discussing the paranormal, always try to leave some of your disbelief at the door. And I'll speak to you next time, right here on your show, The Dark Paranormal.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Whether you're looking to buy your dream home or rent a sweet apartment, give Redfin your gotta-have-it wish list of property features, and you'll receive real-time notifications tailored just for you. Ready to see it up close and personal? Scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Don't wait to find your perfect match. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.